Podcast 33, Consider the Three Wise Men. The Gospel reading for this podcast is Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. So Sunday the 27th of December is the last Sunday for 2020, and I would like to offer you some reflections continuing on the Christmas theme, and in this case talking about what the Church calls the Feast of the Epiphany, which is traditionally celebrated on January the 3rd. This is the revelation of Jesus as the Messiah to the Gentiles, an aspect of the story of the Magi, which is outlined for us in today's Gospel reading, Matthew 2, 1 to 12. The three wise men are an integral part of the Christmas story. Today I want to briefly examine the part these mysterious figures play and what we can learn from them for our own journey of faith. So who were these three wise men? How many of them were there? We assume three. What were they doing in Bethlehem at the time Jesus was born? What were the gifts they brought, and what did those gifts symbolize? Matthew's term for the Eastern visitors is Magi, sometimes translated as wise men. The Magi were usually found in a king's court and were a combination of astronomers, astrologers, and magicians. They were often commonly disciples of Zoroaster, also known as Zarathustra, who was a Persian religious leader who believed in one God, like the Jews. Part of the job of the Magi was to interpret the signs of the heavens. Throughout the Mediterranean world at the time, both astronomy and astrology were intertwined and were widely respected as a scientific field. Any major event happening on Earth would inevitably be signalled by the movement of the stars and the planets. The most likely explanation for what the Magi saw, according to modern astronomers, is a conjunction between Jupiter and Saturn, with the two planets coming close together in the sky three times over a short period. This happens when you get an alignment between the Sun, the Earth, Jupiter, and Saturn. And this would have created a very bright single light source in the sky, visible both by day and night. This type of conjunction only happens once every 900 years approximately, and we were privileged to witness exactly this conjunction a few weeks ago, just before Christmas. Well, at least some people witnessed it. Deb and I looked for the stars, the planets in this case, but couldn't see anything because of the clouds. The last time this conjunction was recorded was 1223 AD. How many wise men were there? Legend has placed the number variously from 3 to 12. Matthew's Gospel doesn't give us a number, just the number of gifts, 3, which implies three wise men. In medieval times, they were also given names, Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. Most scholars tend to think they came from Persia or Babylonia. Others have argued for the desert regions of Arabia. Despite the images we see on our Christmas cards, they probably rode horses rather than camels. Why were they travelling? They were searching for the one who was born King of the Jews. But why would they do this? They weren't Jews. They were Gentiles who worshipped the one God proclaimed by Zarathustra. What possible interest could they have in someone being born King of the Jews? I believe the Holy Spirit was compelling them to go on this journey, to seek out this special child, in order to be a sign. Right from the very start of Jesus' life, their presence shows that God is bringing salvation to both Jew and Gentile, for both Jew and Gentile are present at Jesus' birth. And this is part of God's premeditated plan. And let's not think this was an easy journey. T.S. Eliot, in his poem The Coming of the Magi, captures some of the difficulties involved. This is what Eliot's poem says. A cold coming we had of it, just the worst time of the year, for a journey, and such a long journey. The ways deep, and the weather sharp, the very dead of winter. And the horses galled, sore-footed, refractory, lying down in the melting snow. There were times we regretted the summer palaces on slopes, the terraces, and the silken girls bringing sherbet. Then the horsemen cursing and grumbling and running away and wanting their liquor and women, and the night fires going out, and the lack of shelters, and the cities hostile and the towns unfriendly, and the villages dirty and charging high prices. A hard time we had of it. At the end, we preferred to travel all night, sleeping in snatches, with the voices singing in our ears, saying that this was all folly. So why did the Magi go to Herod? Perhaps it was a courtesy call. They were travellers in his territory. They were familiar with the protocols of kings and rulers, and doubtless Herod's very efficient spy network had been tracking their progress. They were not to know how savagely he would react when they did not come back to report about their discovery of the baby in Bethlehem. Possibly it is from the gifts of the Magi to the infant Jesus and his family that we get the tradition of giving gifts at Christmas. While this is something good that can strengthen the bonds between people, I'm sure the Magi would be horrified at the overwhelming consumerist avalanche that our current society indulges in for the Christmas season, followed inevitably by the Boxing Day sales. In some countries, for example Spain, the Christmas gifts are given on January the 3rd, the Feast of the Epiphany, which celebrates the visits of the Magi rather than Christmas Day. This is also true of the followers of the Orthodox Church, who celebrate Epiphany as a much more important festival than Christmas Day itself. What do the gifts of the Magi symbolize? According to tradition, the gold honored Jesus as king and symbolized virtue. The frankincense was an incense burned in places of worship and acknowledged him as God and symbolized prayer. The myrrh was an aromatic gum used for embalming and burial, and it foretold Jesus' death and symbolized suffering. So kingship, prayer, suffering, these are the symbols that the Magi bring to Jesus. The three wise men had a vision and a sense of purpose as they started out on their journey thousands of years ago, even though they did not know what their destination would be. And what is our vision and our sense of purpose for this new year of 2021, which is nearly upon us? What is the vision God has given us as individuals? What is the vision God has for this parish as a community of faith? Recently, our vestry planning meeting set out a vision for 2021 in this sentence, small steps to growth. 2021 is a year when we are going to be trying things out. This vision is something for all of us as a parish to embrace, not just the vestry or myself as the clergy. So what can we learn from the journey of the wise men to help us with our own Christmas journey more than 2,000 years later? Firstly, the Magi started out on a journey of faith, not knowing where they would end up and how their journey would be concluded. They were not Jews. They were Gentiles who had no particular political or religious motivation for seeking out the King of the Jews. Yet they are an example to us of faith which sets out, not knowing the end of the journey, yet trusting in God. Secondly, they brought gifts to Jesus, not to each other. Let's not forget to continue to give to all those worthy charities and organizations which help support needy people, and those organizations which spread the message of the gospel, as well as giving to our friends and our family and those we love. Thirdly, when they met Jesus, they bowed down and worshipped him. A child born in a stable to poor, unremarkable parents. And yet these magi, who were advisers to kings and lived in palaces, bowed down and worshipped him. So as we look forward into the new year, let us do the same as these wise men. We've been celebrating Christmas. Let's do as the wise men did. Let's continue to walk steadfastly onwards into the new year in our journey of faith. Let's bring gifts to Jesus and worship him.